Iran stamps it as meddlesome, the British government statement criticising Tehran for using ballistic missiles during its military drill, saying London's weapons sales fuel insecurity in West Asia. Church leaders in Al-Quds say Israel is biased against Christians and indifferent to extremist groups' attacks on Christian clergy and holy sites. Also ahead, more airstrikes and more civilian casualties. Three Yemenis are killed and several are injured in fresh attacks by the Saudi-led coalition in the country's west. Thank you for joining us. Our top story this hour, Tehran has denounced a statement by the UK government on Iran's use of ballistic missiles during a military drill in the Persian Gulf area. Foreign Ministry spokesman Saeed Khatibzadeh rejected what he called the UK's meddlesome stance on Iran's defence capabilities. He said it is insatiable appetite of Britain and other European countries for creating instability in the region by selling arms to some countries. He also held the UK accountable over the humanitarian catastrophe in Yemen, saying these countries are fully aware of violating international law by selling arms. Khatibzadeh noted that Iran acts within the framework of international laws and regulations and in accordance with its defensive needs. The reactions came after London said Tehran's use of ballistic missiles during the drills posed a threat to regional and international security and was in breach of a UN Security Council resolution.
The show of Iranian military might and Israeli saber-rattling, Iran's Islamic Revolution Guards Corps fired 16 ballistic missiles in a fitting conclusion to its latest exercises. The IRGC confirmed that the missile hit and destroyed their intended targets with 100% accuracy. Five-day drills, dubbed Great Prophet 17, also featured a variety of combat and reconnaissance drones, sophisticated ballistic and cruise missiles, and attack helicopters. Advanced homegrown tank, dubbed Karar, also debuted in the exercises. The joint maneuvers involved IRGC's ground, naval, and aerospace divisions and spanned over Iran's southern coastline almost entirely, including Hormozgan, Bushehr, and Khuzestan provinces. The Persian Gulf and the Strait of Hormuz provided the maritime setting for Iranian forces to show their might. Iran regularly holds military exercises to maintain its combat readiness and deter any act of aggression. It says the maneuvers carry a message of peace and security for its neighbors and friendly countries. But this time around, the drills carried greater significance amid escalating anti-Iran rhetoric by Israel. The IRGC chief did not mince his words, describing the exercises as an authentic warning to Israel.
These maneuvers, particularly today's exercises, carried a very clear and explicit message, and that's a serious, real, and battlefield warning to the Zionist regime's officials, who have repeatedly issued anti-Iran threats, to beware of their mistakes and errors. In case of a misstep by them, we will cut off their hands.
General Salami stressed that all it takes to turn the drills into an actual military campaign is readjusting the direction the missiles are fired in. Israel and its main backer, the U.S., have repeatedly and overtly in recent weeks warned of a military offensive against the Islamic Republic, despite the ongoing talks in Vienna to revive the 2015 Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action after the U.S. unilateral withdrawal, with Israeli President Isaac Herzog saying that Iran's nuclear program must be neutralized once and for all, with or without an agreement. It's widely believed that such threats lack credibility and serve as a mere leverage to extract concessions from Iran around the negotiating table. The Iranian negotiators, however, can confidently and nonchalantly stand their ground with such display of military prowess and deterrence backing them up.
Now, China renews its call on the United States to remove all anti-Iran sanctions. China's foreign ministry says Washington, as the violator of the 2015 agreement with Iran, should overhaul its so-called maximum pressure policy on the country. The ministry says all remaining signatories to the accord should adopt a serious attitude to ensure early results in the upcoming Vienna talks. Russia, too, says it wants the revival of the deal known as the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action.
This deal has not lost its topicality on all UN Security Council member nations, including, by the way, the United States must observe it. We insist on that. As for any possible alternatives to the restoration of the JCPOA, the Russian side insists that there is no alternative to the JCPOA.
Sakharov also says Moscow's position on the JCPOA has remained unchanged since its inception, despite Washington's wavering. She was responding to comments by U.S. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan about alternatives to the deal. Iran and the remaining signatories to the accord are due to return to Vienna for talks on revival of the 2015 agreement and the removal of anti-Tehran sanctions. The EU says the talks will resume on December 27. Church leaders accuse Israel of anti-Christian bias and inaction in the face of attacks on holy sites and clergy. In a statement, Al-Quds Church leaders cited several cases of assault and vandalism. They said such attacks are aimed at driving the Christian community out of the holy city. The religious leaders further slammed Tel Aviv for admitting Jewish travelers despite a coronavirus-related travel ban for all foreigners. The head of the Greek Orthodox Church in occupied Al-Quds says both the Christian and Muslim communities are being affected by the regime's bias. Now, the United Nations General Assembly has backed an open-ended war crimes probe against Israel, including into the regime's recent 11-day war on Gaza. An overwhelming majority of 125 countries voted in favor of the investigation. It was initially approved by the UN Human Rights Council in the aftermath of the Gaza war in May. The inquiry allows for a review of Israeli human rights violations in the occupied Palestinian territories. No such open-ended investigation has ever been launched against any other UN member. The vote came after Israel's amendment to defund the probe was rejected, 125-8, with 34 abstentions. Back in May, the Israeli military launched a devastating war on the besieged Gaza Strip. It killed at least 260 Palestinians, including over 60 children. Palestinians in the blockaded Gaza Strip, meanwhile, have attended the Friday prayer in the front of the Red Cross office to help draw attention to the plight of female Palestinian prisoners inside Israeli jails. Our correspondent Ashraf Shannon has more in the following report.
Hundreds attended the Friday prayer in front of the Red Cross office in Gaza in solidarity with Palestinian prisoners inside Israeli jails. They came to drum up support, especially for female Palestinian prisoners who have been subjected to inhumane and oppressive measures inside Israeli prisons and detention centers. The event is part of the Friday of Rage in solidarity with female Palestinian prisoners. Hamas movement accused the Israeli prison service of deliberately targeting female prisoners and endangering their lives.
We are witnessing a Friday of rage all over Palestine to support prisoners who are languishing inside Zionist jails. The Palestinian people will not sit idle while female prisoners are being humiliated and beaten by the Zionist captors. We hold the Zionist regime fully responsible for the lives of the female prisoners.
According to prisoners' advocacy groups, Palestinian female prisoners continue to face a wide range of human rights violations in Israeli jails under the watchful eye of the international community.
Attacking female prisoners and placing them in solitary confinement is cruel and inhumane. Nowadays, all prisoners are suffering, especially during the cold winter season, and we call on the Red Cross to exert pressure on the Israeli regime to stop its illegal practices against the prisoners. We also demand an international investigation team to probe Israeli crimes against Palestinian prisoners.
Israel currently incarcerates some 5,000 Palestinian political prisoners, including scores of women and children. Palestinian prisoners are being held in 24 Israeli prisons and detention centers under the administration of the Israeli Prison Service.
Female Palestinian prisoners are facing unprecedented attacks inside Israeli jails, and these attacks are taking place on a daily basis. Any attack on Palestinian female prisoners is an attack on all Palestinians. As we stand here, we warn the Israeli regime that it must immediately stop such attacks against female prisoners.
Many Palestinian prisoners also suffer from chronic illnesses and are denied proper medical treatment.
Thousands of Palestinian prisoners are currently languishing inside Israeli jails. Securing their release is a top priority for Palestinian resistance factions. Ashraf Shanan, Gaza.
Moving to other news now, civilian deaths and injuries as the Saudi-led coalition launches fresh airstrikes on Yemen. Three civilians were killed in the attacks that hit the western province of Al-Mahwit. A two-year-old and a woman are among the dead. Six others, most of them women and children, were also injured. The air raid targeted buildings belonging to Yemen's public telecommunications corporation. Riyadh has recently intensified its airstrikes on Yemen. It follows Saudi's failure to curb advances by the Yemeni army and allied popular committees in Ma'rib and elsewhere. Saudi Arabia launched its devastating war on Yemen in 2015. The conflict has killed hundreds of thousands of Yemenis, most of them civilians. Correspondent Sana Abdul Latif al-Washadi says the latest Saudi-led airstrikes refute Riyadh's claim that its airstrikes only target sites belonging to the Yemeni army. Take a listen.
The civilian victims refute the Saudi allegations that they are targeting only military sites with military activities. This is a residential area. Yesterday the attack was on my neighborhood, and one of the airstrikes was on the road itself. So they don't have any strategic targets. They are not gonna stop the Yemeni army from attacking the Saudi facilities. They are not attacking or targeting hangars for the Yemeni army, as an example. They are only targeting civilian areas. The Yemeni army has the legitimate right to hit back the Saudi Arabia. As they are killing civilians, Yemeni civilians, the Yemeni army will only hit military sites or airports being used for military purposes inside Saudi Arabia.
We're going to switch to some coronavirus news now. The Omicron variant of COVID-19 deals a heavy blow to global airlines, causing the Christmas Eve travel chaos. Millions of passengers are now facing disruption as thousands of flights are cancelled worldwide. According to a flight tracking website, over 2,000 flights were scrapped on Friday alone, hundreds of them within, into, or out of the United States. The airlines, such as Germany's flag carrier Lufthansa and America's Delta Airlines, have cited staff shortages tied to Omicron as the reason for cancellations. They say there have been a massive rise in sick leave among their flight crews and other workers in the past days. Omicron was first detected in South Africa on November 24th. The strain, which is believed to be more transmissible than other COVID variants, has found its way to more than 100 countries worldwide. Meanwhile, the United Kingdom records over 122,000 more coronavirus cases. That's the highest single day tally since the start of the pandemic in the country. Authorities have also registered 137 new deaths in the last 24 hours. The surge is largely blamed on the Omicron variant of COVID-19. Cases have been steadily rising over the past 1 week. Yet the government of Prime Minister Boris Johnson is resisting calls to impose new restrictions ahead of the Christmas season, citing their economic impacts. With more than 11.6 million cases, the UK has the highest infection tally in Europe. The country also has the second highest death toll on the continent, following Russia. Nearly 148,000 Britons have died from the disease so far. Elsewhere, Russian President Vladimir Putin has elaborated on the country's security proposals to the NATO alliance and the United States, which were presented last week. During an annual speech, he said the NATO's efforts aimed at eastward expansion are unacceptable. He accused the West of reneging on its promises and being dishonest. Our correspondent in Moscow has more.
President Vladimir Putin has talked about Moscow's security proposals presented to the NATO alliance last week. Speaking during his annual press conference, he said it is the Western countries that must immediately give Russia security guarantees, not the other way around.
They told us in the 1990s, not an inch to the east. What is the result? They cheated us. They simply impudently cheated us with NATO's five waves of expansion. Now the corresponding systems are already appearing in Romania and Poland. Have we approached the borders of the US or Britain? They have approached ours, and now they say Ukraine will also be a NATO member.
Prominent Russian journalists who have worked in the presidential pool for 20 years believe that Putin's statements serve as a deterrent against the West.
It seems to me that he should not be fascinated by anything for a long time, but he himself sets the vector of many agreements, follows a path that is sometimes completely unexpected for many, hinting that if it is ignored, then retaliatory actions will follow. And since no one knows what they can be, they start to get scared. This is a deterrent.
Speaking about Ukraine, Putin said that Russia was responding to threats from Kyiv. He said Kyiv does not want to honor the Minsk agreements and adopts laws that run counter to these accords. Putin said Ukraine and the West want to portray Russia as a party of the conflict in that country. He said incumbent Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky has been under the influence of radical elements after coming to power, like the country's previous leaders.
There must be tension for the hegemon to change. The hegemon, which is America and the English-speaking world, will not just give itself up. But this hegemon does not have enough strength, and we are watching it trying to enter into negotiations.
On Afghanistan, Putin stated that Afghanistan needs a government that represents its entire people so it can be recognized by the international community. He asserted that the countries that occupied Afghanistan for two decades should be the first to offer aid. He called on the West to unfreeze Afghanistan's financial assets, warning that the country is on the brink of famine.
Putin holds a big press conference every year in December, during which the president often touches on acute international problems and suggests ways to solve them. The statements made by the Russian president during this event are prompted by politicians from different countries, in particular by the opponents of Russia. Marina Kartunova, Moscow.
That report brings an end to our bulletin for this hour. Thank you for staying tuned. This is IRIB English Radio. Iranian news. Iranian culture. Iranian voice. www.parstoday.com/en.
In the limelight.
Senator Mitch McConnell, the Republican leader, says Democratic outrage over Senator Joe Manchin's opposition to sweeping policy bills shows that he's not welcome in his party any longer. Senator Mitch McConnell has tried for years to woo Senator Joe Manchin, a Democrat of West Virginia, to the other side of the aisle. The article you're about to hear has been written by veteran New York Times journalist Carl Holzer. The piece is titled McConnell to Manchin. We'd love to have you, Joe. Senator Mitch McConnell is extending an open invitation to Senator Joe Manchin. Come on over to our side. Senator McConnell, the Kentucky Republican and minority leader, said on Tuesday, 21st of December, that he was astonished at the angry response that Mr. Manchin of West Virginia elicited from the White House and his fellow Democrats, with his Sunday bombshell that he would oppose President Joe Biden's signature domestic policy bill. The Senate, Mitch McConnell noted, is an institution where the most important vote is the next one. leaving the Republican leader perplexed as to what drove Democrats to impugn Mr. Manchin's integrity by accusing him of reneging on commitments to President Joe Biden. Why in the world would they want to call him a liar and try to hotbox him and embarrass him? Mitch McConnell, who is just one Senate seat away from regaining the majority lead title, asked in an interview. I think the message is, we don't want you around, Joe. Obviously, that is up to Joe Manchin, but he is clearly not welcome on that side of the aisle. It is hardly a secret, Mr. McConnell said, that he has wooed Senator Manchin for years, only to have Senator Manchin, a lifelong Democrat, resist. And Mr. Manchin this week said he hoped there was still a place for him in the Democratic Party. Despite his break with President Joe Biden over the sprawling safety net and climate change bill, Senator Manchin would not be an exact fit for the Republican Party. He is closer to Republicans than Democrats on some flashpoint cultural issues, like guns and abortion. But he has a more expansive view than most Republicans on the role of government in social and economic policy. And in both of former President Donald J. Trump's impeachment trials, Senator Manchin voted to convict Donald Trump. But Mitch McConnell seemed to see the clash over the spending measure as potentially providing a new opening for a party switch that would both restore him as majority leader and shift the ground in Washington. And he's also not against stirring up trouble for Democrats, however and whenever he can. Obviously, we would love to have him on our team, said Mitch McConnell. I think he'd be more comfortable here. Mr. McConnell's appeal to Senator Manchin came as the Republican leader celebrated the year coming to a close without Democrats advancing two of the most ambitious priorities: legislation to bolster voting rights and a sprawling domestic policy bill that Mr. McConnell characterized as part of a socialist surge that has captured the other side. Considering how Republicans began 2021, in the minority in Congress, a newly elected Democrat poised to move into the White House, and a public worn down by a pandemic and alarmed by an assault on the Capitol. Mr. McConnell and his colleagues say they have had a successful year. In some respects, it was all the things they did not do that may have served them best. They did not maneuver themselves into shutting down the government, as they have in the past, despite demands from the right that they never work with President Biden. And they did not allow the government to default, with Mr. McConnell providing Democrats a circuitous path to raising the debt ceiling. Either could have created a backlash for the Republicans. We had a good deal of drama, Mitch McConnell said, about the High Wire Act over the debt ceiling, but in the end, we got the job done. As Democrats spend months trying to hammer out the huge policy bill among themselves, Republicans were relegated to the sidelines. Mitch McConnell said Democrats' inability to come together on it so far reflected a misreading of the 2020 elections, when voters gave them the White House, but bare majorities in both the Senate and the House. They did not have a mandate to do anything close to what they tried to do, said Mitch McConnell, suggesting that progressive ideology overcame their judgment. The decision by Mr. McConnell and other Republicans to help Democrats write and pass a separate $1 trillion public works bill was, Mr. McConnell said, a smart one, even though Republican supporters of the measure took heat from others in their own party, notably Donald Trump. Mitch McConnell said that applying pressure to keep the policy bill separate from the infrastructure measure denied Democratic leaders leverage over Mr. Manchin, who helped negotiate the infrastructure measure while delivering a bipartisan bill that met legitimate needs. He said that Donald Trump and other Republican critics had been proven wrong. I think it was a much smarter play to support the infrastructure bill, he said. I think it was A, good for the country, and B, smart for us politically. Democrats, meanwhile, have not given up on either the social policy bill or winning over Senator Manchin, meaning that Mitch McConnell and Senate Republicans will have to maintain their campaign against the legislation into the new year. Senator Chuck Schumer, the New York Democrat and majority leader, also intends to press forward with voting rights measure fiercely opposed by Mitch McConnell, and is threatening to try to change Senate rules if Republicans try to filibuster it again. Democrats say that Mitch McConnell is being complicit in allowing some states to impose new voting restrictions meant to target voters of color, a charge he rejects, saying that the impact of the new laws is being exaggerated. He said he was relying on Senator Kyrsten Sinema, the Arizona Democrat who recently reaffirmed her opposition to changing filibuster rules, to hold steady. Kyrsten Sinema has been quite unequivocal that she is not going to break the Senate and eliminate the legislative filibuster, he said. Thank goodness for that. One area where President Biden and Senate Democrats have posted some victories is on judicial confirmations, with 40 judges being seated in the president's first year, a number well in excess of the other recent presidents. It is a subject of special interest to Mitch McConnell, since he spent the Trump era pushing conservative judges through the Senate. Look, there's some advantage to having the White House, he said. I'm not surprised, but the 3 Supreme Court justices and the 54 circuit judges we did are still there, and I think will be good for the country for a long time to come. Mitch McConnell said he believed his party's performance this year and the struggle of the Democrats were setting Republicans up for a strong midterm elections next year, and his potential return to running the Senate, no matter what party Joe Manchin is in. Despite Donald Trump's efforts to encourage candidates he favors in key Senate races, Mitch McConnell said he was intent on avoiding the type of primary contest that in the past have hurt Republicans by saddling them with primary winners who falter in general elections. I feel good about how we handled ourselves this year, and I feel good about how the American public is reacting to what they are trying to do, he said of the Democrats. I believe it will be an excellent environment for us.
Food for thought.
Hello dear listeners, and greetings to our Christian listeners on the eve of Christmas, which the West regards as birthday of Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, whom Islam considers as one of the 5 greatest messengers of God. Here we present you a prophecy about the advent of the last prophet by the virgin-born Messiah, as mentioned in the Gospel of St. Barnabas. Know, O Barnabas, that for this I must have great persecution, and shall be sold by one of my disciples, that is Judas Iscariot, for 30 pieces of money. Whereupon I'm sure that he who shall sell me shall be slain in my name, for that God shall take me up from the earth, and shall change the appearance of the traitor, so that everyone shall believe him to be me. Nevertheless, when he dies an evil death, I shall abide in that dishonor for a long time in the world. But when Muhammad shall come, the holy messenger of God, that infamy shall be taken away. And this shall God do because I have confessed the truth of the Messiah, who shall give me this reward, that I shall be known to be alive, to be a stranger to that death of infamy.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
This is A to Z. An introduction into an Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, Apocalyptic People and Wealth. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In today's lesson, we will talk about the apocalyptic people and the world. What we mean by the apocalyptic people, it means that the people who are living at the last time, we can say, like for example, in the Arabic terminology, we use the word akhiru zaman. It means this time in which we are living, in the ghaybat, in the occultation of the imam of the time before the qiyamah. So we are the ones, we are talking basically the people who are living in this time. So when we talk about the people of our time, we can see in the narrations that the Prophet has said about us, and he has described the people of this time in which we are living at the moment. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that the people of this time, the time in which we are living, the people of last time, the criteria of nobility, the criteria of someone being respectful and honorable at this time, it will be the wealth. And whereas there are many people who are hungry, who will die with the hunger, but those who will be known as the respectful people will be those who have more money. Welcome back. You're listening to A to Z from IRB English Radio. So at the time in which we are living, the Prophet has said that obviously in the future there will be a time that where the people will have the criteria of money as the criteria for being respectful, and this is which is not desirable in Islam, because according to the wordings of the Prophet, he said ulaika sharrul ashrar, they are the most evilest people, or they are the most evil people. Why? Because they are filling their bellies with the dirahim, with the money, and the main goal for them is their bellies. Why? Because eating and sleeping, this will be the main criteria, and the money which they will have, they will just spend for this, and they will earn more in order to eat more. So the criteria of the people, and we can see, and we can really see in our time, that in today's world, the criteria is not helping people. The criteria of someone being noble or respectful is not helping people. Is the one who has more money, who can fill his stomach with more food, with the foods in the restaurants, or I don't know, with the traveling and just thinking about himself, having lust and this entertainment, which is generally known as lust. This is the main criteria of people to be known as the honorable and noble people. Therefore, we need to be careful that in Islamic lifestyle, these are the things which are related to this world, and it will remain here. The things which will go with us in hereafter is our actions and deeds. Therefore, we need to be very much careful, inshallah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thanks for listening to A to Z from IRB English Radio. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.com/EN Call of Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
Scientists have made a stunning discovery inside a fossilized dinosaur egg. An embryo that's been preserved in a perfect shape. The embryo was found inside a 66-million-year-old fossil in a museum in the Chinese city of Guangzhou. Paleontologists say it's the best dinosaur embryo ever found. They're hoping it would help a lot in finding the links between modern birds and dinosaurs. The fossil belongs to a toothless Oviraptorosaur, a group of feathered dinosaurs that used to live in what's now Asia and North America. The embryo is nicknamed Baby Yinliang after the Chinese museum that houses the fossil.
Exchanging gifts is an inseparable and also the most joyful part of Christmas traditions. How about sharing the joy with animals? Now, a zoo in the Colombian city of Cali is doing so by giving presents to its animals. The presents are actually the animals' favorite foods served in a different way. Animals spend time unpacking the gifts decorated in Christmas theme and then access the food they like the most. Feeding in this way arouses the animals' curiosity and fills them with excitement. Zookeepers say they want to show that animals always receive care at their zoo.
It is a very cool way to generate empathy for visitors. Although animals do not know that it's Christmas or that it's a special date, it is important to generate that message in visitors that we make care of our animals and that for us it is important to share with them this Christmas season.
The zookeepers say they make use of enrichment strategies for their initiative. They actually stimulate the behaviors of a range of animals, even the species they keep in an aquarium. Running a marathon is pretty tough for most. But a group of people has upped the ante to take the competition to sub-zero temperatures of Antarctica. 62 people descended on the Union Glacier from around the world and ran over a 42-kilometer course. The area is just a few hundred kilometers from the South Pole. Soft snow and temperatures as low as minus 15 degrees Celsius did not stop Latvia Evija Rain from setting a women's record. The event was delayed for several days because of a massive storm that battered the area a week ago. Adventurers and athletes have been putting their strength to the test in the race every year since 2005. A tiny baby mouse deer takes its first steps into the world with a round body and spindly legs in a Polish zoo. It was born on December 2nd and now stands roughly 10 centimeters tall. The Warsaw Zoo got its first mouse deer last year and the second one last summer. Zoo staff are surprised that the pair of new arrivals have produced offspring so quickly. Mouse deer are among the smallest mammals. Even as adults, they only weigh around 2 kilograms. Contrary to their name, they are neither from mouse nor from deer species. Some mammalogists consider them living fossils because they haven't evolved much over millennia. Beachgoers in Brazil's Rio de Janeiro have been surprised by very rare visitors, a family of orcas. The family of three was seen swimming in shallow waters of a crowded beach south of the city. The group didn't seem to care at all about the presence of people on their paddleboards. Footage of the orcas quickly spread on social media because they don't usually come that close to the coast. A local biologist says the whales were likely to drawn. They were likely drawn to the area by a cold current from further south.
What we see in the video is a family group that has a male and a female who have a calf. It is common that the orcas come from a colder current where there is also a shoal and they reach the south, the north in fact, and end up hitting our coast. Then they rest in warmer waters such as Copacabana Beach, Ipanema Beach, and Barra da Tijuca.
The biologist says the mammals pose no risk to humans despite the label killer whales. He says there is no record of their attacks on humans. Researchers suspect that the migration patterns of whales could be influenced by climate change and the resulting changes in water temperatures. Serving customers in a high-tech way. That's what a traditional restaurant in the German state of Bavaria does. What's the goal? The owner explains.
We decided ourselves for this robot because of the lack of staff. We looked for support in a technological form. It's not a replacement, of course, but it's a relief for the waiters.
The robot is equipped with a trolley and it can easily move around in the restaurant. When it comes to saving time, the high-tech waiters is of great help, especially when the restaurant is packed with customers. The owner says most customers first become surprised when they come across the robot. He says waiters are still present to serve meals and receive orders. Butterfly gardens are a place where you can watch these tiny creatures and marvel at their beauty. But have you ever wondered where these butterflies come from? These colorful creatures are in fact bred in butterfly farms. And Donald Orsay from Costa Rica is one of the biggest breeders, making that the mission of his life. He produces somewhere around 2,500 pupas per week. Arce is one of the world's largest exporters of the popular Morpho species. Listen to him explain why he is fascinated by them.
A Morpho has a great advantage. It is a butterfly that rarely stays still, unless it is very late, because when it is getting dark, it settles down, but normally it flies constantly. It flies by in the butterfly gardens.
Arces butterflies have their own special diet. They feed on bananas and a concoction that he keeps its ingredients secret. Morphos are popular because of their color. They are shimmering blue on one side and brown on the other side. That's perfect for camouflage. Butterflies are really fun to watch, but they serve a critical purpose as well. They help plants reproduce by pollination, thus strengthening the ecosystem.
A few hooks and a shelf have transformed a wall in the Swedish capital, Stockholm, into an outdoor charity. It's called the Wall of Kindness, which is painted with the slogan, "Grab a jacket if you need one, leave a jacket if you can spare one." Here, people can donate their winter clothes or warm boots if they have some extra. The Wall of Kindness is meant to help those in need, including the homeless, to stay warm. The wall was set up by a real estate company, and the organizer says people have responded positively with the high turnover. The move was inspired by a trend that has been seen in Iran over the years. Several other countries across the world, such as India, have also organized similar outdoor charities.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields, like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Scientists in Brazil have come up with a creative way to shore up the population of a majestic species of monkeys in danger of extinction. Brazilian conservationists have constructed a bridge to reconnect the two sides of Rio de Janeiro's Atlantic forest. The road had effectively isolated a group of lion tamarins, but now it offers hope for the endangered monkey. There are only 2,500 golden tamarins left in the wild, all of them in Brazil. It is estimated that these animals have lost more than 95% of their habitat.
Childhood joy and lightness meet with art at the First of Its Kind Museum in Rome, Italy. Here, all kinds of art decorations are made of balloons. The exhibit, dubbed Let's Fly, displays a broad range of interactive artworks. In one installation, visitors are invited to find their inner child by diving into a pool of hundreds of small balloons. In another section, giant inflatable sculptures double as a playground for kids. Some installations move only by riding a bicycle. The museum is a place where artists and spectators coexist for a journey into a world of inflatable art capable of freeing the imagination of all ages.
It's the combination of art with childhood and adolescence that makes this place so magical. So they are art installations, but also games. The blurred line between the two is what makes the museum so unique.
The balloon exhibit incorporates innovative works created by 14 different artists from across Europe. The artifacts were created using hundreds of thousands of biodegradable balloons. The organizers say they want to increase environmental awareness by being eco-friendly, as all the artworks will be reused or recycled. The exhibit will run until March the 5th.
As people around the globe are preparing for the New Year holidays, the Vatican lights up the Christmas tree and nativity scene set up on St. Peter's Square. People gathered around the square waiting for long hours to see the illumination. Even heavy rain did not stop them. That's why the official lighting ceremony was held inside the Paul VI Hall, where Pope Francis presides his weekly audiences. The nativity scene, made of more than 30 pieces, is created by Peruvian artists. The majestic Christmas tree is about 28 meters and comes from Andalo, northern Italy. The locals see the stunning tree as a symbol of hope and peace. The tree will be switched on every night until January the 6th. Chinese students receive a science lesson on their country's space station, and they are lucky enough to receive it firsthand from the astronauts living in the first and core module of the station. The class was held via a live broadcast shown on the state television. The three astronauts gave a lecture that focused on physics. They explained how the weightlessness environment affects the movement of objects. The astronauts also gave a tour of the station they arrived at in October for a six-month stay. It seems that their teachings were quite motivating. The students peppered their instructors with questions, including those about living conditions in space. China launched its space station in April and plans to complete it by the end of the next year. Christmas is just around the corner, and children are waiting for their presents. In Guatemala, Santa Claus has a new mode of transport to give gifts to children with cancer.
Today, as in the past year, we are celebrating Christmas with the cancer patients of the shelter. Santa Claus came in a helicopter to give presents to the children. It is very emotional for the children. The majority of them have never been so close to a helicopter, let alone Santa Claus.
That was an exciting experience for the children. The charity event was organized by an institute that supports cancer patients for remote areas in Guatemala. The institute says the event aimed to help the children go through their therapies with more ease. The Amazon River turtles are in danger of extinction, but environmentalists have come up with an initiative to save their lives. And that's by protecting their eggs. Climate change and human activities against their ecosystem have been putting these creatures at risk. Now, what the biologists and local volunteers do is that they recover the turtle nests from riverbanks during the rainy season to protect them from drowning. Then they take care of the baby turtles until they develop a hard shell and are ready to start their life journey. Batches of tiny turtles release into a river in the Amazon border between Bolivia and Brazil. They are now grown enough to protect themselves against different threats. Environmentalists have been doing this for more than 20 years, saving millions of baby turtles. This time they released 1 million of the little turtles.
This is IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio, with you every single moment.
In the limelight.
The combined wealth of the 745 U.S. billionaires surpassed $5 trillion in 2021, up 70% since the beginning of the pandemic, according to Institute for Policy Studies and Americans for Tax Fairness Analysis of Forbes data. In this regard, we have prepared an article for you written jointly by Sarah Anderson and Brian Wakamo Writers. This article is published under the heading 2021 saw gaps in U.S. racial and economic inequality widen. Stay tuned for more. The combined wealth of the 745 U.S. billionaires surpassed $5 trillion in 2021, up 70% since the beginning of the pandemic, according to Institute for Policy Studies and Americans for Tax Fairness analysis of Forbes data. U.S. corporate after-tax profits hit a record high of $2.5 trillion in the third quarter of 2021, further enriching wealthy executives and shareholders. One factor behind the profit spike, giant corporations have used the excuse of pandemic-related supply chain bottlenecks to jack up prices for gasoline, food, and other essentials. Workers, particularly those at the bottom end of the wage scale, have gotten some long overdue pay increases, but these were not the result of any employer largesse. Instead, workers have gone on strike and taken other actions to leverage their power at a time of pandemic staffing challenges. Unfortunately, rising consumer prices are taking a bite out of those wage giants. The U.S. economy had strong job growth in 2021. The January to November period saw the creation of nearly 6 million new jobs and a decline in the unemployment rate from 6.3% to 4.2%. But these improvements conceal persistent racial inequalities. As of October 2021, the unemployment rate was 7.9% among black workers and 4% among whites, a wider gap than at the beginning of the pandemic, according to BLS data. The decline in unemployment rate also masks the exodus of millions of people from labor force since the beginning of the pandemic. As of November 2021, there were 3.5 million fewer people in the U.S. labor force than before the pandemic. The drop has been most dramatic among black women, a sign of how racial barriers compound pandemic-related health concerns and the shortage of affordable child care services. Job and wage growth would have been stronger if corporations hadn't blown record sums on stock buybacks. Corporations went on a stock buyback spree in 2021, spending a record $234 billion on share repurchases in the third quarter of the year. As analysts have long documented, stock buybacks artificially inflate executive stock-based pay and siphon off capital that could be used to raise worker wages or make other productive investments. So much for a swift end to the pandemic. On top of the anti-vaxxer problem, Americans have got more than a billion people in developing countries still without access to vaccines because of big pharma greed. Profiteering executives, including the five newly minted billionaires at Moderna, have blocked patent waivers that would have boosted vaccine production around the world. In late November, the number of vaccine doses administered per 100 people was more than 18 times higher in high-income than low-income countries. The cost of this greed-driven global vaccine gap became painfully clear when the Omicron variant discovered in South Africa quickly spread across borders. a Vox and Data for Progress poll conducted October 8 to 12 found that 71% of voters support increasing taxes on the wealthiest 2% of Americans to pay for the Build Back Better Act. This landmark bill, which passed the House in November and appears close to becoming law, is expected to raise nearly $2 trillion